All right, you ready?
Ready as I'm gonna be.
Oh yeah, you look loose. Too loose. Too loose, support.
Too loose, bring it back, bring it back. Rail it back in, bring it back in.
It's important to remember that the stakes are extremely high, and the only thing that is going to counter the power at the top is power from the bottom.
What up, world? Welcome to episode 102. Anderson, what's the math fact?
It's not a math fact today. It's a fun fact. Because 102 is easier to find facts that weren't like prime number associated with 101 and 100. 102 is the number of Nobelium, which is a element named after Alfred Nobel. Right? Nobelium. No one saw that coming. It's a synthetic element, and it is only produced in particle accelerators, like all of the elements that are atomic number north of 100. So you're welcome. My job here is done. I'm signing off. Enjoy the podcast.
super high heavy metal. Something like that.
Kelly, when you're on fucking Jeopardy, that's going to be like final Jeopardy, and you're going to owe me a dollar.
Well, I will pay you. I am taking the quiz this week. So,
hey, I didn't even know
see
that.
See if That's I awesome. Get in. Yep. Next three nights, in case anybody else out there in our listener land hears this and actually can sign up before Thursday. Not dated reference.
That lovely voice is John Kelly, Denver, Colorado. How are you, sir?
I'm probably as good as I can be, considering what we're going to be talking about tonight, but we'll get into that in a second.
Yes, we will. Also in Colorado, John Anderson. How are you this evening?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. I like the lights on your computer. It's,
I don't want to talk about it
it's
too much
calm,
right now.
Calm down. It's calmed down right now.
Has it? Because it keeps blinking, and it's really pissing me off, and I think it's a software problem. I think I need to reload a driver. Fucking Windows, man, is such a piece of shit. I cannot deal with Windows goddamn software. But that's another podcast.
Can you say compulsive disorder? That's something different. Yeah.
It's driving me nuts.
Backstory listeners, John built his own computer because he's a nerd. Nerd alert.
Super nerd.
And calling out the nerd alert. Tyler Grillo, our friend in California. Hello, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Glad to be back with the content after we brought you the scariest and funniest. Now we're back to current events.
Great.
Too bad there's not very much going on.
Here we are.
Yeah, right.
We are gathered here today to discuss the most recent revelations in Trump's impeachment trial. All that exciting, juicy news, including...
In case you didn't know, there was one going on.
That's right.
I try to forget sometimes, so,
What's impeachment?
Donald Trump is going through an impeachment trial in the Senate at the moment, ladies and gentlemen. In case you did not know, thank you for pointing that out.
End of podcast.
I'm your host, Blake Mannion.
Today is January 27th. It's pretty friggin' crazy. And hope your new year is shaping up well so far. Thanks for joining us. Who wants to take it? Who wants to give us a little background? Where are we right now in the trial?
So, in November of 2016, Donald Trump was
That's the start of the episode.
Too far.
Sorry, bring it back. So we are in the middle of the impeachment trial. The first day of the impeachment trial was setting the ground rules, largely based around admitting evidence and witnesses, which, of course, Mitch McConnell, leading the Republicans, was against, because when we are trying to defend a president from doing illegal things, it's better if there's no evidence for the cover-up. Turns out that helps.
Yeah, it happened last Tuesday. Pretty impressive 12-hour marathon they had discussing it. 11 amendments, right, brought forward by the Democrats, all tabled?
All of them were, I don't know the exact number, but all of them were tabled by a vote of 53 to 47 because we live in a polarized age. Fun fact, another fun fact that is not number related, to table something means the opposite in American English and British English, which caused a lot of confusion. So another fun fact. But anyway, so there was the first day of the impeachment.
It's kind of like how pants means something different, too. It's also important to know the difference. Just letting all Americans know.
I didn't know that.
Pants mean something different. Maybe don't talk about it publicly. Sorry, John, go ahead.
Okay, all right.
Oh, well, we should have another podcast about that.
or private discussion.
Or a private discussion, because I don't know what it means, but I'm intrigued. So then the next day, we had 3 days of the Democrats, the House managers, led by Adam Schiff, who is the hero that we need in these dark times, presented the case against the president. That's essentially the prosecution. Right now, I think as we speak, the Republicans are defending the president. They started on Saturday. They took Sunday off because it's God's Day. Then they were back at it today. And there was a wrench thrown in by one John Bolton, the Stash. Because there was a New York Times report from Maggie Haberman and Mike Schmidt that was an excerpt from his book. This was important because it for the first time, explicitly drew linkage with Trump between the investigations and the military aid. It had been implied in the Democrats' case that Trump knew about it and directed that exact thing, but we did not have direct compelling evidence, and this is the first time we have direct compelling evidence. So this is important because, rewind to the first day, one of the amendments was to get witnesses. Mitch McConnell, who doesn't like the truth, decided not to have witnesses, but now with the Bolton revelations, it looks like moderate Republicans may vote to actually have witnesses, which is a, quote, loss for Republicans. It's a win for the country. It's a win for the truth. And the trial will be extended likely. Well, the trial will be extended if we have witnesses, which is looking more likely.
Yeah.
When is that discussion or vote going down to amend witnesses?
Possibly Friday is what I heard. Also, Pat Toomey.
It depends when Trump's side gets done presenting their case and the senators get back together to have an actual vote about basic next steps in the trial. That's when they can vote again to see, do they need more information presented to them to make their decisions as jurors in this case? That's what we're talking about when maybe Bolton will get called in front of the Senate. There's quite a bit going on there, not just with Bolton. Probably have heard that there's a kind of underneath discussion going on where some Republicans are interested in trading witnesses, right? That for if John Bolton gets called, then they will immediately call Hunter Biden. The Republicans will call him to have him testify in front of the Senate, which the Democrats are like, we're not going to let that even happen. We're not even going to put that on the table as an agreement.
Speaking of which, Pat Toomey, Republican from Pennsylvania, is floating a one-for-one deal for witnesses. So that would be something like, you can call John Bolton if we can call Hunter Biden something like that.
Right.
So they'll go one-for-one trade.
Right. And let's be completely clear that what the Republicans want to do with these witnesses is to show that, yes, there was corruption in the Ukraine and Trump had every right to withhold this aid as a response to what he thought was going on with Hunter Biden in the Ukraine. Completely overlooks the fact that it happens to be the son of a political rival who is close, probably in the top three, if not leading in the Democratic polls in the build up to an election year.
Yeah.
And it's not appropriate. It is entirely appropriate for Donald Trump as representative of the people of the United States to be concerned about how we spend our money. However, it is completely inappropriate and unconstitutional against his oath to withhold that money for personal political reasons, which is what the Democrats are alleging. That's the difference, and that's a main case that the Republicans are making, which is, oh, he was well within his right to do this. He was worried about corruption. And it looks like, no, he wasn't worried about corruption, and he was worried about getting investigations about Joe Biden, a political rival, and this John Bolton revelation is the first thing that explicitly ties those things together from Trump, which is very important in making the case.
Yeah. And just to go back, I just want to make a clarification, because John, you said that they took a break on Sunday because it's God's Day, which is a good assumption because, I mean, Christian hegemony. However, I think actually the actual reason was that the Grammys were on Sunday and they needed to touch base with John Bolton, and they couldn't because he was in attendance.
Oh, sure.
Yes! Yes! Got in the Michael Bolton reference for the episode.
Yes! Very good. Very good. But I mean, there were reports coming out of the White House that Trump was concerned that it wasn't fair that his people were going to get to start on Saturday because he thought that they would get worse TV ratings.
Amazing.
That he was complaining about that.
Sure.
That makes sense.
Sure.
But one thing I do, just because I think it's important to talk about Bolton and this new revelations, but one thing just to go back to, because we didn't get a chance to talk so much about the setup. One thing I think is just important to note is that, which was mentioned, was that in terms of the amendments and everything, the votes were straight down the line or down party lines, right? And so because Republicans are in control of the Senate, they won all those votes. That is just interesting to note, especially because impeachment has not happened very often in, this is right, third time that it's ever happened, that...
Third trial. The trial.
And that the last time this happened was with Clinton, and that they agreed, the Senate agreed unanimously, 100-0, on the rules that were going to be set up and the amendments. Wow. And there are some people in the legal fields who are just pointing out that generally, when you conduct trials, you agree to the circumstances of the trial before you go into them, so that when you come out the other end, you can't say, "Well, I didn't agree to, I didn't want those things to begin with," so that this is null and void. And in this, regardless of how it turns out, like, the Democrats could just be like, "Well, we claim that it wasn't, we didn't agree to those rules, so we don't see this as valid."
I think that's a really important point about the legitimacy of it in its entirety. I couldn't agree more.
And there's there's an interesting historical parallel there, which is in Nixon versus the United States, which was essentially the deciding Supreme Court case for Watergate. It was decided, I believe, 7-0, because I think two had to recuse themselves because they were nominated by Nixon. I believe it was 7-0. Regardless, it was unanimous. And that was really important, that it was a unanimous decision from the Supreme Court. Because even if one justice had dissented, Nixon could have pointed to that and said, actually, you know, Justice blah, blah, blah is right here, and I'm going to defy what the majority said in the Supreme Court, because the Supreme Court has no army. So it's very hard for it to enforce anything. And so, analogous to that, it's very important that in democratic societies, the democratic institutions are viewed as legitimate, and one of the ways you build legitimacy is through consensus. And we did not have that, and it, I think, casts a light on basically our entire governance that we've had over the course of probably, well, let's just say since, you know, a baby boomer was elected president. But that's another podcast. Also,
okay, boomers.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think you're right, John. You touch on something that's really, really concerning to me, which is, and I think it's concerning to even both sides as you see them present their cases, which is about the legitimacy of our institutions, right? Interestingly enough, both the House managers and Trump's legal team are saying that what they are arguing is actually the real important part about impeachments, right? The House is saying that we have to have the right to be able to investigate a president. We have to be able to have the right to get documents, to interview witnesses, to present, to get information, to present a full case. Interestingly enough, Trump's legal team is arguing that it's actually the opposite, which is to keep impeachment as it should be. The House shouldn't be allowed to make baseless claims and have long investigations into a president where there's nothing there and they get to just keep making up new information. I mean, I think that the Trump's attorneys are completely full of shit, and I don't think that's what's happening at all. And I think most people who are watching and actually listening to the facts won't accept that. But it is interesting to me that both sides are arguing that we know what's right about the heart of impeachment, why it's an important aspect. And if you let the other side get away with what they're doing, you're going to mar what impeachment really is in the Constitution.
And interestingly enough, the Democrats are also making a factual case, right? Which is like, yes, the president did this thing. And the Republicans are not disputing the facts. The Republicans are not disputing what happened with Ukraine. The Republicans are disputing the fact that it's a problem. And so,
right, exactly, exactly. They don't think it's a crime to begin with. And that's exactly that's the bottom of their legal defense. Yep.
And that, I think, tells you a lot about the substantive nature of how they feel about their case. If you can't win a game, break the rules, right?
Yeah.
Break the game and then try and change the rules. So I think that's what they're doing. And I think that that tells us how they feel about all of this. And it is...
Oh, it's clear why they wanted to obstruct it in the first place, why they think it's not a problem that he hasn't given over documents or allowed people to be interviewed. It's also why they voted against not having any type of witnesses come forward yet.
Yeah, because...
Which is clear.
Yeah. Why would you be like, no witnesses at a trial? Like, what are you talking about?
And it doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Or yes, good.
It's just disappointing. You know, like if there was one flaw other than slavery that was involved with the Constitution, it was we're just gonna breeze through that one.
Yeah.
Cause you know, that's another podcast also. Was that the founders never assumed that there would be the two-party system like has developed. The two-party system does not exist in the Constitution anywhere. And that they wanted to avoid what they called factions as much as possible, but I think ultimately it would have been better if they had institutionalized some things about parties. Now I have totally forgotten where I was going to connect that back.
I will say that what we're seeing right now in the polarization, right, that we have, that has been ongoing in the past few years, between the parties, right, and it's fundamentally asking us to it's asking a lot of our democracy and really putting it to the test, I would say, and as citizens, asking us to really step up. If we think at all that this experiment called democracy that is not perfect but seems to be better than other options out there, at least to a certain degree, that we've seen in action, if it's worth us standing up for, because the people in power, they're at this point, there's at least enough of them that are so entrenched and are just trying to stay in power because this rift is so strong right now, that it's hard to see... it's hard to see them alone. I mean, they have to be a part of it, but it's hard to see them alone, shifting this, right? And I think that this impeachment is a huge marker in that process as to what's going to, like, the outcome of this. Like, is it, like, are we just going to see a president, for all intents and purposes, do something that was illegal, that he wasn't allowed to do? That by the governing rules of the role, he was not allowed to do, and then just his party, who happened to have enough power to stop them from being any consequences? Are we just going to see that? Because that's going to set a precedent in our politics that's already been operating, but it's going to happen at a higher level, in which it's all about means justify the ends, right? That's like, it's going to complete without there being any respect for process, which, you know, the process is the thing in government. That's the thing. Is the process. That's the whole point.
And that was the fundamental flaw that the founders did not anticipate. And now we can leave it back in. Thank you, Tyler. Just keep all of that. We're doing it live, baby. Here we go. But we now have a government that exists in a two-party system. And the founders did not anticipate that. The founders expected each person to make their own individual judgment based on their own political outcomes. However, we've now seen that personal outcomes are so deeply entrenched with party outcomes that they're basically the same thing. So as we've talked about before on the podcast, the Republicans have made a strategic decision that they are now riding the tiger and they have to stay on the tiger. And if they jump off, they're going to get murdered, which means that their party, if they get rid of Trump, their party is over, which I think is true because Trump is going to take half of them. And then you're going to have the other half hanging around and then Democrats are going to win everything. So, you know, true. This is the true. Fundamental it's calculus definitely that a political everybody calculus. Is making. Yeah.
Where is Trump? I have a question.
Yes, guardrails.
Where is Trump going to take this half? Where are they going?
Trump TV.
Yeah.
Trump TV.
Jesus.
And then
Trump TV.
Into the parallel universe that's being split off. Since we're having a riff in our universe and two parallel universes are being created, he's going to take them into one of them and hopefully leave the rest of us to recover.
It'll be Gabbard Trump 2024.
Oh my god. Stomach just turned.
That's where he's taking that 12% or whatever the fuck. Yep, you're Jesus. Welcome. Horror.
Has she dropped out? Has she dropped
brain.
Out yet?
I don't think so, but no. She doesn't, you know, it depends on what you're talking about dropping out. From the Democratic primary, I don't think so. From the race, definitely not, because she's probably going to run as a third party candidate.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that seems more reasonable.
Hey, it turns out Bernie Sanders is very supportive of her when she told him that he wanted. Did you see that?
Yes. No, I've seen that there's a lot of like Bernie, Hillary, Warren like sniping at each other, and I get so stressed out by inner Democratic fighting that I can't do it. Like,
see, listeners, be like John. John avoids the Twittersphere bullshit. Be like John.
Be like John.
John has more sanity.
All right.
Be like John.
It's really important for. Hey, now I saw that look.
Sorry, I know. Facial gestures are so good in radio. I apologize, but continue.
I found it crucial for my sanity to avoid basically social media discussions generally speaking.
Me if I'm wrong, but Hillary, I mean, I personally, I'm like, Hillary, please stop saying, she just does not care anymore, which like I respect that in like in a certain level. I'm like, yeah, burn it down. On the other, I'm like, you're not helping. She gave an interview and she said that, briefly, listeners, she said that nobody likes to work with Bernie Sanders. And she's referring to in the Senate, which like, I don't know if that's true. That seems to be an overstatement, but I also like could see that being true and that some people probably don't like because he has very hard stances and probably doesn't compromise much on much. And
He hasn't passed very much legislation,
sure.
So that should tell us something.
Right, which would be evidence of that. Yeah, exactly. So, like, she basically was like, nobody likes him, nobody likes to work with him, and she's talking about in the context of the House and in the federal government, and people on the left, which I'm like, everybody just got stopped, took them, so they took the quote and said, Hillary says that nobody likes Bernie, which... is she was referring to, then people were like, oh, well, I'm a nobody, I guess, huh? Oh, they started this whole nobody's for Bernie thing. And like all these people, and I'm like, you all are so goddamn, like, I'm sorry, I agree with you and your politics, but y'all are so dumb. And then, it was the same
thing.
There's
no reason. There's no reason to waste mental space on that at this point. There's so much bigger things to worry and care about.
Warren seems to be doing the same thing. She was the one at the debate who said, he told me a woman can't win being president. And like, I bet that if he did, which he firstly flat out denied saying, but if he did say that, I would assume it would be in the context of against Trump. Like, you can't win right now, like, against Trump. And, like, I am also not sure if, I mean, like, I also don't know, honestly, in the political context, if a woman can win right now. That is an unfortunate, honest thing, which voters, I don't give a fuck. I'm still going to vote for Warren in the primaries. But, because we can talk about this. This would be a good one for another topic if anyone's interested. I'm so over the what's more strategic that I'm giving up and going back to who I actually think would be the best president. I think that Elizabeth Warren would be the best president.
There you go.
So I'm fucking voting for her. But anyways, Tulsi then tweeted and said, when I told Bernie Sanders that I was going to be running for president, he was very supportive. Anyways.
This is the worst fucking timeline.
The worst
goddamn timeline in the fucking world.
But
why didn't 300 people vote differently in Florida? That's where we went wrong in 2000. That's the moment.
Jesus.
Yeah. Anyway, I agree though, Tyler. I think that we could use like a school mom teacher vibe in the White House for a little bit.
I mean,
I
also think she's hyper intelligent. She's super smart, and I want, after this, I just want some smartness back in the White House, just like a little bit of like ideas, you know, and like thoughts that are longer than 100 and whatever 25 characters.
Someone,
you know,
who cares about integrity and policy
could be nice. That's weird. Could be nice.
Well,
could be nice.
A politician who does that, weird.
Integrity, yeah. like the South Park marijuana brand. Integrity.
Integrity. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. She Elizabeth Warren come out to Colorado, get a little integrity in her.
Yeah.
I would like to submit the Amy Klobuchar Elizabeth Warren ticket for consideration, because I think Amy Klobuchar is fucking scary and will like throw shit at people, and then Elizabeth Warren can just be like, here are all of my ideas, go do them.
Yeah.
And I think it will be a perfect partnership.
I think it's a solid ticket. I think you would get a lot of support from Democrats across the country. I think that plays well in a lot of demographics.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Hey, I would vote for Bernie too, friends. I'm not saying I wouldn't vote for Bernie, but I will vote for Bernie on the fucking Democratic ticket, but I would but I would prefer him before many others. But I'm just saying, Warren though.
Warren.
Yeah, Warren life. And if it's Gabbard Trump, then just blast me into the sun. I know I've made that joke, but I'm done if that's it. It's over. Fuck that nonsense. We're lost.
Oh my god.
John, I will try to. I don't have enough money to buy a big enough rocket, but we'll figure it out. Happen.
Well, I'll volunteer as tribute for the first sun mission.
But I'm sure somebody will take you.
Yeah, but in all seriousness, I would just like to get back to the impeachment for one more second. I got one more thing to say, because I know we're trying to keep this short, is that no matter what comes out of the first article, whether or not there's enough senators to actually jump on board to convict him of high crimes and misdemeanors, right? Number two has to be voted on in the positive. The obstruction of Congress has to be voted on, because it will gut the power of Congress to do anything against a sitting president, because a president will be allowed to do literally whatever he wants in terms of blocking congressional subpoenas, not having to answer questions. It will gut what the original meaning of the impeachment should be.
Agreed. The stakes of this are extremely high. I know some people have been feel overloaded. I feel overloaded. It's been now.
I certainly do.
Years of this.
It's been a crazy week. I've watched so many hours of discussion in the Senate already, and it's draining. It is mentally and emotionally draining.
It's important to remember that the stakes are extremely high, and the only thing that is going to counter the power at the top is power from the bottom. So we have to make sure that we keep doing our jobs. If you live in a swing state, make sure that you're talking to your congresspeople and your senators. If you don't live in a swing state, maybe you live in a swing state nearby. If not, maybe you can donate some money to a swing state candidate. It's not all about the presidency. The senators, as we're seeing in this trial, are extremely important. I have been bothering Senator Gardner with giving him giving Higginlooper donations and saying I will match those donations if he votes for witnesses. So that's an idea, but you can call, you can email, but we got to keep pressure on these assholes because that's the only way anything is going to change. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of us have thought that the trial outcome is preordained, but it's not. And if we keep the pressure on, we might have an outcome that is satisfactory for the American democracy. So keep the pressure on.
Yeah, good message.
Solid message.
Godspeed, everyone.
You know what? Yeah, Godspeed. Let's get out of here. Fuck this nonsense.